This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We're going to start with a nice word from the Chedu. He says on the Pusik, in Parash B'Shalach, Zekai Livam Vayhi. He says, Zekai Livam Vayhi is Gematria Unav. Unav, he spells Ayin Nin Vov with the Koilu. Right, that's 126. He says, Unav, who's a Unav? The person who is humble. He's not arrogant. He's mashpul himself. Why? Because he's always aware that he's standing before Hashem. Somebody standing in Hashem's presence, who's Malach Lurat Kavoidoi, is always going to be humble, and through his humility, he will be Merkuv Lushchina. Hashem will be able to rest on him. He says, Zek Kaili, Vanvayi, if somebody reaches the Middah of Anova, which is Menimiz in the word Zekali Vanvayi, Gematri Unav, Vanvayi, he will be Anova Lushchina, he will be a place where Hashem could rest. He will be able to be a place for Ashura Sashchina, as it says, Eshkenaz Daku, that Hashem rests on somebody who's small, somebody who's humble. And I think that the idea of Anvayi is very closely related to everything about Shulam Bayis. We know that Ish Azuchi Shchina Shri Banayam, right? We know that a place for Ashur Sashchina is a Yiddish Shtiv. In a Yiddish home, that's where the Shchina rests. And it only rests there, obviously, if there's the element of Zakai Anvayi, when people are humble. When somebody's humble, first of all, it does so much for themselves, not to get angry, not to get upset. Well, just to know that, okay, I don't deserve anything, I don't need anything. It's, a person is just much more content and obviously has less problems with other people in general. And then with a spouse, the second person is more humble, they can get along easier with other people at home, and they can also be more careful not to look down at someone else in terms of a spouse, husband and wife. Sometimes you see something in your spouse that you don't like, and it's so easy to start judging and say, well, I wouldn't do it that way, or I don't have that problem. And when somebody's humble, they don't think like that. So aside from humility, helping someone on a personal level, just getting along with everyone around them in general, because personally they're just more humble people, but getting along with somebody at home and having that close and healthy interpersonal relationship very often also depends on that humility. So let me read a letter. Dear Bai Groen, thanks for all your shiurim on Shalom Bayis and parenting. When listening to all the questions you answer, I so many times get ideas and little insights that help me in great ways. Thank you for that. Hashem should help you, Shav Koyach, for many, many years to help Klal Yisrael. Amen. Thank you. Okay, here's the question. Although I never thought I'll write to you, I thought I'm okay and the little things I can handle by myself, but Baruch Hashem, we're married for quite a few years. We weathered a lot, as in different issues, health issues that they had, And with Parnusa we struggled. And Bukhshem, now we have a nice family and a nice business. We get along great and have a general happy home with teenagers. Baruch Hashem, 1,000 times for that. My husband has this nature that he wouldn't really forget or forgive people that hurt him and will hold grudges for a long time. Also, he can't really hide his feelings, so when he would meet these people, his face says it all. Whether it's a family member or a customer or a neighbor. I'm just the opposite. As in forgetting and forgiving very easily, that's just me. He claims it's a Schwachkeit, it's a weakness that I have. Well, it might be, but I think that life is better this way, in any case. The problem is that we have both type of kids, some like him and some like me. So when a close family member invited the family from Lov Malka, for example, he just wouldn't attend because there was someone there that he didn't get along with. I understand his old pain, but why can't he get past it and let my kids join with the cousins? I did something that I would not do and just went with my girls. I left him home with my boys. I wonder what your take on this is. Was I wrong? Was it okay to show the kids that I'm not doing what Tati wants? Or am I allowed to have a mind of my own and let my girls enjoy themselves? I do understand that we might need a little help in this area, especially as the kids are growing older and their natures are only getting stronger. But my question is it okay that I did this without any argument? And I just told him, matter of fact, that I'd like to go. And is it okay that my boys stayed with him when it seems that they were totally fine with it and didn't want to go without Tati coming along anyway? Thanks in advance. Okay. Yeah, so the first thing, you start off by saying that you listen to my classes and gain from them, which is always good. Many people have an easier time learning from other people's questions and answers and mistakes, even when it's less relevant to them. Then later to apply different things that they heard or they don't even realize that subconsciously a lot is really going in, aside from having Huda go to, you know, if you're in touch with someone and something does come up. But I have people telling me this often that, you know, you spoke about something that wasn't really relevant to me, but I listened anyway. And I try to get in a lot of different ideas that could be helpful to different people. So the question basically is that, you know, you can understand, it seems, why your husband is like that. You mentioned that it's a nature, so I guess you do understand that it's not really his problem. But then again, you ask, why can he get over it? Okay. The point is that your husband seems to be holding grudges, and you're not that way. And the question is it okay that because of he has this issue and you don't, so that's why when it came to something practical, you just basically did your own thing and let him do his own thing. So let's do this slowly. Holding grudges, okay? Holding grudges is a problem. I'm not here to get into the debate. If he thinks that you're forgiving and forgetting is a weakness, and you think that he should be forgiving and forgetting, but just in general, holding grudges is a problem. Let's not, you know, let's just call it what it is, right? We know the Torah tells us, l'sisim schichel b'vavechu, and l'sitor, and a lot of other different things that point to the fact that Hashem is telling us not to hold grudges, not to hold grudges against somebody who did something bad to you. Now, it's not easy at all. It's not easy at all. For many, at least. And like a lot of things that are not easy. And this is where the old question comes in. How could Hashem tell us that we have to believe in Him? What if I don't believe? How could Hashem tell us not to be jealous of somebody? What if I am? Right? And the same thing. How could Hashem command me not to hold a grudge against somebody? I feel it. So that's a good question in general, but a lot of mitzvahs that are dvurim atliim belev, where it's something that it's a feeling. And the way this Svarim explained that it's, as much as it is a feeling, there's still certain thoughts that a person should be thinking. We're in control of our thoughts, and there's a way to deal with that, especially when it comes to grudges. Right? Where the Rambam talks about it, you should tell someone that they hurt you instead of just holding a grudge about it. You should let them ask you forgiveness, etc. So that we see clearly that, you know, there are ways to get over it. You're supposed to go and acknowledge it, and not just forgive and forget on your own necessarily. That's not what you're commanded to do, but you are commanded to deal with it. I tell someone, you know what, you did hurt me, and I'm not okay with it. So there are ways to deal with these things. A lot of it has to do with working on yourself when it comes to emunah. Like a lot of Svarim talk about, knowing that, you know, that it's Hashem that made someone do something. And if it wouldn't have been him, it would have been someone else. So, you know, different things that help people calm down. There's also ways just of working on your midas and trying to get yourself to forgive and just trying harder and harder to get yourself to that place instead of just holding on and thinking that it's okay. There's definitely a lot of ways to work on getting over a hard feeling you have against someone. And it's clear there are people that struggle in this area more than others. And it doesn't mean that you get off the hook just because it's hard for you. I mean, we find by Achai Yosef, right, Yosef Tzadik's brothers, the Pusik said, they couldn't talk to him b'shulam. So Rashi explains that they couldn't get themselves to talk. So on the one hand, we know this is considered a compliment, right? A quality that somebody's not a faker, and if they were upset at him, they weren't going to make believe that they weren't, and the Torah is complimenting them for that honesty. On the other hand, we know that obviously whatever came out of the whole story, even though we have no asugu how to understand these things, but it's clear that they were held accountable for the fact that they hated him and had a grudge against him, even if he did things that bothered them. So anyway, my point is just that holding grudges is definitely not okay. Aleph, and that for those who struggle with it, it's not easy, Baiz, and that we should look for ways to deal with it, and that as long as somebody doesn't have a way to deal with it, the fact that they're not going to put on a show is questionable, if maybe that's sometimes even the best thing to do, especially when somebody can't even put on the show, etc. The fact that some people just look at it like, well, this is how I am, that's just something I do want to call out. Not that I'm hearing it in this question, I'm just saying there are people that will talk about a situation, or they'll throw in something like, "So I can't get over. I hate this guy. He did something to me, and I can't forget about it. That's just how I am." And then just go on the story. So yesterday I met him, and he. A lot of times people have this tendency to put something into a narrative. This is like, this is just part of the thing. So I got very upset. So I crumpled up his paper. Okay, not terrible. And then the next day he was fuming at me. You just slipped something into a narrative of. So I crumpled his paper. Was that a very important paper? Is it a normal thing to crumple someone's paper? Do you realize that doing that can make someone very, very angry? So sometimes people have this thing that they put the spotlight on the wrong part of the story, of where the guy came and you should see he was fuming. It was like totally unreasonable. Everyone thought he was crazy. But what about the part where you just did something to someone that was totally unreasonable as well? Okay, so I lost myself. It's just interesting to see how different people see things differently and tell stories differently and stick in details differently and put the spotlight on different things, you know. And I'm saying this just last week, somebody was repeating a story where also mamash they were like focusing on the reaction that somebody else had to their getting physical, and it wasn't a child that they were hitting. So I did this, and then that person, you just have to realize what that is. I'm just bringing it back over here. Sometimes people slip in a certain thing that they want to accept or they want you to accept. They think it's okay, but it's not okay. So somebody says that I have this tendency or that's just how I am, it doesn't make anything better. It doesn't mean that it's okay. The fact that you're self-aware, the fact that you know that it's a problem maybe even, and sometimes people throw that in as well. I know I shouldn't really be doing this, but it doesn't mean that it's okay. It's not okay to hold grudges against people, and we have to work on ourselves to get over that. So anyone thinking that just because that's how I'm wired or that's how I got used to doing things means that it's acceptable, it isn't. That's all. We just have to know it and work on it. Now, on the other hand, right, okay, this was the part where your husband has this issue that maybe isn't like a wonderful quality of his, that he holds grudges. Now, we all have our own struggles. We all have our own struggles, every one of us. I do, at least. I think everyone does. And just like somebody shouldn't look down at themselves for struggling with something, that's what we're here for, to work on ourselves. And everybody has a certain area which is difficult for them. That's how it is, and that's how it's always going to be. It doesn't mean that you accept it to remain that way, but it means that you accept yourself. You should never feel bad about yourself or not accept yourself just because something's hard for you. And you're wondering, why is it hard for me? How come other people have it so easy? I must be a bad person. You're not a bad person. The fact that you don't like to learn or daven or give tzedakah or be nice to other people or forgive and forget or anything else doesn't mean you're a bad person. And I have people talking like this very often, like, so, you know, so my mother wanted to come to us for Shabbos, and I really don't want to have her. I must be a terrible person. You're not a terrible person. The fact that you don't want to have your mother for Shabbos, maybe you should work on yourself. Maybe you should extend yourself a little more, get out of your comfort zone. Maybe you don't have to. Maybe it's not good for you. But you're not a terrible person. The fact that something's hard for you, you have to work on yourself. Somebody says, "Well, this is who I am. I'm accepting myself, and I'm staying this way." That part is a little more terrible. But the fact that somebody's struggling with anything doesn't make him terrible. How much more so when it comes to someone else who's struggling with something, whatever it may be. Siyamaru, Asai Tov, different people have different challenges in life. And so often people just look down at someone else's challenge simply because they don't have that challenge, they can't even relate to it. I once saw this t-shirt, maybe it's an old line, don't hate me just because I sin differently than you do. Now, I know it doesn't excuse anything, Chas v'Shulam, and nobody should think that just because we all have our shortcomings means that it's okay that I do what I do and you do what you do. So, you know, there are things that are more severe. The Torah talks about that. There's different levels of violations in Torah and the gravity of certain things that people do. I'm not here to say that it's all the same. But when it comes to looking down at someone, just acknowledging the fact that, okay, this is what this person's struggling with. For me, Shmira Shabbos is not an issue. The fact that for someone else it is doesn't mean that it's not more severe. The person who's Mechal Shabbos will have a very different category than somebody who's not Mechal Shabbos. That's because the Torah decided so. Right? Clearly, if somebody's Mechal Shabbos, well, maybe he can't even be buried in a Yiddish cemetery. Because it's worse than somebody who didn't give Shalach Munas. But to look down at somebody who's struggling with that and watching him fall and not stand up to the challenge, just because I don't have that challenge doesn't mean I should ever judge anyone else. Especially when a lot of struggles that people deal with are personality-based and natural, like you're mentioning. And the fact that somebody was born with a certain nature that just makes certain things hard of him that's for someone else easier, that's certainly not a reason to look down at someone else. We're wired differently. And forget about challenges, just in general. I talk about this so often when it comes to accepting someone else and realizing this person is just different than me. He's different. I'm more timely, this one's a latecomer. It's not because they don't care about other people and they don't respect people and they don't want to be on time and a word is not, and you can't trust them, they said they'll come. It has nothing to do with that. You're on time because you're a timely person. Now that you're a timely person, you obviously built up a whole principle in your head about how good it is and how wonderful it is and how respectful it is and how reliable it is and how honest it is. And it's wonderful. And I think that if everyone would be timely, the world would be a wonderful place. Maybe Mashiach would be on time. But to look down at somebody because they're less timely than you, instead of just acknowledging, okay, so for me coming on time is not such a challenge, and for that person it is. Okay, so we all have different things. For that person, being nice to other people and being flexible with their time and accommodating people is easier than for me. And if that person is going to look down at me for being so rigid and so in my box, you know, when half of the reason they're being so nice and accommodating to people is just because they don't care if they come an hour late, so why not give someone time? Anyway, the point is not to, You know, everyone has their thing about how friendly and organized and timely and everything they are. So same thing when it comes to struggles, when the same thing when it comes to forgiving and forgetting. We're all different. And we should never look down at anyone for being different or for struggling. That's a very important thing. It's so interesting. Everything about Hashem's world is interesting, and Hashem's natural setup in the world is interesting, but the fact that people appreciate their own nature, I see this often in my book, Get Along With Everyone, where I talk about different natures, many times, not always, but many times, most times, I think, a lot of people read it and they find themselves in the book, their nature, their characteristics, their personality, and a lot of people are like, wow, this is the best. This is, why would anyone want to be a different nature? I'm so happy that I'm like this. I think it's so great to be so friendly and happy-go-lucky. Or I think it's so great to just be gentle and nice to people and soft. And I think it's so great to be accomplishing and energized. And I think it's so great to just be perfect and exact and know how to do things right. And it's funny how it's like chayin mukam al yeshvav, right? Chazal say that a person likes his neighborhood. You see people living in the city and they think it's the best thing to live in the city. I don't know which crazy people live out of town. And people living out of town, like, oh, I love living out of town. Which idiot would live in the crowded city? Hashem made it that way, that people should be happy. Men should want to be men, and women should want to be women, and children should want to be children, adults should want to be adults. We don't want to switch. There's just life, he talks about that. It's a chesed Hashem, that a person wakes up in the morning the same person that he was by night. Imagine if you'd wake up in the morning a different person. And if you had Netzer, who challenged Hashem, Taka woke up a different, he became an animal. Oh, you think you know better, so tomorrow you'll wake up something else. It's Hashem making the world, putting the world into existence every second, and a new world every second could technically be looking very differently from second to second. And Hashem's nice to us and he keeps it the way it is. Imagine you wake up the next day and there's no tree in front of your house. So Hashem knows that you want it to stay the same and he keeps it that way. Very often people are just happy with who they are, and if they would one day start becoming someone who forgets and forgives suddenly, naturally, they wouldn't like it. They don't like that identity. And the other person who would start holding grudges and feeling all resentful and worked up wouldn't like that either. So Hashem's nice to us and we all have to work on ourselves. So it's not to look down at somebody holding a grudge, not to look down at somebody having a weakness of forgiving and forgetting. You know, we should all try to overcome whatever challenges we have with other people. I thank Hashem for who we are. Also, just recently, somebody was saying a whole Shalom Bayis issue where it was more about forgetfulness than the forgiving and forgetting part. It was about forgetfulness, where the wife was plotting and felt that the whole problem in the Shalom Bayis was that the husband forgets. He forgets what he told me he'll do. He forgets that I asked him for some money for something. He forgets to come on time, right? His forgetfulness is killing me. I can't stand it. And the husband's side of the story was, Nach ein mazel, I'm forgetting. If I would remember everything my wife ever told me or everything she did to me, I probably wouldn't be married anymore. So it just, you know, it's almost laughable to see. Now, obviously, there's always the middle ground where you could forget the wrong things or remember the right things. It's just funny to see, though, how the same thing could be seen as a quality and an attribute and something positive that's actually enhancing your life, and the other person could be seeing it as a problem. I think it's just important to accept each other completely in order to get along with each other. Now, in terms of a couple who's not getting along about something like this, where he doesn't want to join a certain family event because of a certain grudge and she doesn't like that. So I think one of the things that's very important to point out is to avoid debates and arguments about these things. There are so many topics that are better if avoided, in general. I remember hearing this from a Chusn Madrich who was teaching Chassanim different things, which was very interesting, which I guess over the years of experience, you get a lot of feedback, different arguments, different debates. He says, listen, this topic, don't ever discuss, because men and women will always see it differently, and it's just going to turn into an argument. I'm telling you, if your wife brings it up, just listen, nod your head, and go on. Don't try to turn it into a discussion or an argument, thinking that, okay, it's like a typical thing, we'll understand each other. You won't. And I think when it comes to things like this, where you know by now that you have a natural disagreement or a natural different perspective, don't argue about it. Sometimes we get so passionate about something and we believe so strongly about the way we see it that we're like tempted to just make the other person see it that way, and we're almost convinced that I'll just say it one more time and you'll agree with me because it makes no sense and everyone knows it. And it's a shame because a lot of these things are taken personally, especially when the more natural and personal the topics are, the more people take it personally. So when somebody's naturally a latecomer, the more you talk about how disrespectful it is to come late, you're hurting that person aside from not accomplishing anything. So it's not just about Republican, Democrat, which I don't think anyone ever won each other over in a debate about. But I think that when it comes to these things, it's personal, it's challenging, it's insulting, and there's no point. So I think that trying to explain why it's better to forgive and forget or not I think that's just something that you're probably best off not discussing. Obviously, your husband might hear shir about it one day, one of the children might say dvatoyer about it one day. It's allowed to come up. It's not a non-topic. Holding a grudge is wrong, and I think it's wonderful if people would know it, but it's not something you should try to discuss and explain. In terms of the practical decision about going to a, let's call it a Hanukkah party, without your husband, or husband without a wife, for example, it sounds like it was done without argument and resentment, which is what you're describing, and if that's the case, I don't see a problem with it. Now, you have to remember, when two people get married, there's a lot of unity, there should be a lot of unity, we should be sharing a lot of our life together, and it would be a shame if we just if we're just roommates or sharing just the minimum that we have to. But at the end of the day, it's still two individuals. Two individuals, we're allowed to like different things. So we don't have to drink the same flavor soda or eat the same flavor ice cream. And we don't have to spend the whole day together, even though it sounds like certain things over here are shared together, actually more than other couples in terms of work and other stuff. Now, I think it's fair to say that best case scenario is when two people are united, however much more. I'm saying it that way because I don't think it's a must, and I don't think it's across the board, and everyone has their level of how much of their life they share with someone, and I think it's fine. There's a lot of levels that are definitely considered acceptable. There are the extremes where you don't have any individuality or no privacy, or you have too much of it, but everything in the middle I think is healthy and fine. And if a couple really wants to always go together places and always be together places and spend time together and share information and never withhold any secrets and always discuss things together and always decide things together, I think it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful. I think that the more of that somebody has willingly, it's probably called better. Doesn't mean everyone has to strive for it or could get it. I think it's fair to say that it's better. It's better. It's not necessary at all. And if somebody for whatever reason can't have it, that's fine too. But it's better. However, if for whatever reason it's not working, it's still fine, totally fine, for two people to know how to just part ways in a certain area. Not chazur shum in an argument or fight, and say, okay, I like doing this, and you like doing that. I think it's fine. I once said this, more than once, about visiting day, where a couple had a major disagreement about should we go visit the kids in camp or not. Now, like I said, it would be wonderful if husband and wife agreed together and did the same thing together, and they felt good about it. That would be wonderful. What if it's not that way? What if it's not that way? So most people who disagree with the idea of, oh, so we're just roommates, so we're doing things on our own, so you're going to the chasna early and I'm going late, that's terrible. Most of the people who think it's terrible are not willing to now go and do it the way their spouse wants because it's terrible. It's terrible meaning you have to do it my way. It's not okay for you to do it on your own. A lot of the feedback I get when I talk about this topic is, how can you say that it's fine for a husband to go early to the chasna and the wife to come late to the chasna? Shouldn't they be going together? That's usually coming from somebody who wants his wife to come when he goes. Not somebody who's saying, you know what, I think it's terrible and I think I should go when she wants to go, even though it's very hard for me, Taka. What does that mean? Hashem let two people be two people and remain that way. Back to the visiting day. I think it's fine if a couple doesn't get along about the visiting day thing to agree to disagree on what the right thing and wrong thing to do is and stop debating about it and say, you know what, if you really think it's so important to go visit the children and they need us so badly, I think it's fine if you go. And even though I really don't think it's the right thing to do, and it might make me look a little bad when I'm not coming along, and I don't think it's necessary, I don't think I'm obligated to kill a whole day to travel to the country and back with the traffic and the and everything, but I let you do it. I think that's fine. Is it lechetchila? Like I said, it would be better if everyone could agree on everything. And I think it's fine. And that's even when there's a disagreement about it over here. It doesn't even sound like there's a major disagreement about what should really happen. Now, if somebody says, well, no, I think we should be doing everything together. If my spouse doesn't want to come for visiting day, I'm not going to go myself, either because I don't want to, or I have to drive myself, or just because I think it's right to show united, to always be united. And I don't want the kids to ever notice that we're not doing everything together. That might be the right thing to do, and sometimes not. If you have kids waiting in camp, and everyone else is getting visitors, and they're not, sometimes the right thing to do is to say, as long as you don't mind if I go myself, I'd like to. Right? If you want to go early to a chasna, back to that example, and it's going to mean a lot to your sister who's making chasna, you come early, it's not because you're putting your sister before your husband, it's because you want to be there early, and there are people who might get offended if you're not there early, and as long as your husband's not against you going early, I think it's fine to go yourself. Let him come when he wants to come. Stop controlling other people. Why does he have to be there early? Well, we have to come as a couple, so then go late. No, he has to come when you want as a couple. I think it's fine, as long as there's no arguments and hurt feelings and bad feelings going on. And I think that when there are, it should be discussed and should be resolved. And it's still okay for two people to do things to do things differently. In general, discussing it with somebody nicely in advance, without committing to doing what they want, asking permission, is it okay if I go? I'd really like to go. Are you okay with it? Can we work this out? I think that if it's spoken about menschlich and not just you pull off without telling anyone, I think that's fine. And yeah, of course, it's very important to make sure your children don't see it as a problem. Because you're mentioning that, right? If the children are going to see mommy's going and tati's not coming as an issue between you, that would be a problem. But as long as you could make sure that they're not seeing that, sometimes, like you're saying, just matter-of-factly, okay, I hope it's not a problem, I'm going to be going, thank you, I understand that you don't want to come. I think very often that would be the best way to deal with things. Now, I know that there's a lot of different details and circumstances that might change what the right thing to do is, but in general, I just wanted to say it this way. Now, I want to add just another 2 points. One is that if your husband's not getting along with somebody in the family, you probably won't accomplish much by arguing with him about how wrong it is to keep a grudge, but it doesn't mean that you should leave it that way. Aaron HaKohen did whatever he was able to do to get people to get along. I think that if you could promote any kind of shulam, any kind of peace by bringing back good regards or letting someone tell someone to tell him that the person is remorseful and regretful and getting someone to tell someone to tell someone that maybe it would be kedai to ask mechila or whatever, I think that would be wonderful. Right? Being marbe shulam ba'olam, instead of just saying, well, it doesn't have anything to do with me, and you know, I think that would be wonderful both for your husband and for whoever else it is. That's fine. And yeah, the last point is that in a general thing, just letting relationships, part of being two individuals means not only that when it comes to going or coming or schedule or flavor, it means that when it comes to relationships as well, letting someone else have the relationships that they have as opposed to the ones that you want them to have is a very important topic. I'm not going to elaborate on it now, but I'm just saying, being that it's so common, I just wanted to mention it. You have to get along with my parents the way I want, or you have to talk to my father as much as I want, or call my mother, or get along with my brother, or go to the simchas. The way, and I'm not talking about grudges and fights and conflict, just letting someone deal with relationships, even if they're joint relationships. Right? It's our sibling, it's our married child. I want you to have a relationship with our married children the way I do. Let people live. So as long as there's no fighting going on, I think it's extremely important to allow people to have their relationships on their terms, the way they like, instead of telling people and dictating how it's supposed to look. So let me just recap very short. One is that holding grudges is a big issue. It's something we should all work on. And some people it's very hard to work on, and we still have to work on it. The next thing is that we all have our personal struggles, not to look down at yourself or at someone else for struggling with something. And to know that especially when it's a natural struggle, it is what it is, and there's no reason to look down at anyone about it. You shouldn't argue with anyone about it. Try to debate a topic that's not going anywhere. And then when it comes to practical stuff, I think it's fine in a very respectful and gentle way for two people to do things that are different and not be upset at each other and not think it's a big issue. And as long as the children aren't seeing it as an issue, I think that's fine. And then yes, if you could be marbe shulam when there is a conflict going on, but at the same time not to control relationships when there's no conflict going on, I think that's a wonderful thing that could definitely help us get a lot of things right and a lot of similar situations that could definitely be taken care of. So yeah, being humble is definitely a big step in the right direction for Ashuras HaShchina. Being humble will help you overcome grudges with people and get along with them. And being humble will help you not look down on a spouse who might be struggling with this or any other problem. And I yourself will be zoichet to the anvayhi of Ashuras HaShchina when we live together.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.